I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joining on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh, it's bit season, ah-ha-ha-ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season, episode 37. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
And I'm Ryan the Stallion.
Hope you guys are having a great week.
That makes me laugh every time he says it. Ryan the Stallion.
Yeah, I love it.
I know.
I think he's been right in. I've been hearing a lot of glowing reports from about the Stallion.
I have as well. People are enjoying his fresh outlook.
Everyone but AWOD. AWOD texts me. He's angry all the time.
AWOD's a hater.
He is a hater. He likes you, but
he likes you as a person. But honestly, he's upset because he has FOMO. That's what he has. He has FOMO.
He wants to be
sitting next to Drab.
I didn't tell you this last week, but he was doing an impression of you at MGM, and I told him to knock it off. I actually had your back. He goes, "I'm gonna do an impression of Ryan the Stallion on the Bit Season," and he goes, "Ready, Drab?" And he goes, "Say something." And I go, "Hey, Ryan. Are you a fan of Shannon Sharp?" "Exactly. Exactly."
Okay.
Exactly.
He found out my crutch word. I'm not going to lie. That's my crutch word. He's got me. But I look up to AWOD.
You know, my wife grills me about saying exactly all the time, too.
I don't know.
But that's
know.
Because I'm half listening to her.
It's my crutch word, man.
I say right all the time. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Hey, we pointed out to the listeners that the junkie's crutch phrase is...
By the way.
And... My buddy Kent told me that ever since I said the word jarring on the show, when I said the EB sunglasses, orange sunglasses were jarring,
uh-huh.
He says that the junkies have stolen that word and are using it all the time.
Repurposed jarring.
Yeah, because it's stuck in their head.
It's one of those worms, earworms, yeah. Wherever they're called.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right?
It's an
earworm, right?
Do me a favor. Write exactly down on that piece of paper.
Exactly.
Right? I sound like Larry King, right?
Hey, it's tough to be a broadcaster.
It is. It's hard to do this crap.
Unless you're EB.
you got to be funny. You got to be...
Charismatic.
You got to... No pausing. No dead air.
Right.
Dead air Drab. That's Drab's nickname.
That's not my nickname. What do you guys think about Alpha Brain?
Alpha Brain.
Huh? And EB getting on the juice.
Well, number one, about damn time.
Right. Yep.
Number two, I'm curious to see how it works. It has to work. If it's a dollar a pill... It's something.
I think
that
it's
has
a placebo effect, isn't it? How can you really tell if you're more enlightened or not?
Is there a study?
There's got to be a study.
These things are all. It's an Instagram pill. You know what I mean? It's just something that someone's pitching.
It's a magic pill. You're gonna take this pill and you're gonna lose 50 pounds if you take it every day.
Well, because how can you track brain activity unless you're hooked up to something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need some sort of neurological machine.
I'll say this: it can't hurt.
That is true. Very good point.
EB today in the 9 a.m. hour, once the golf started, we were playing a game. He was frozen. Valdez and I were laughing at him.
Yeah, something was wrong with the phones where I was not able to put a caller on hold or punch anybody up. So it was up to EB to do it straight from the computer.
And
as soon as this guy won, he was on hold for 5 more minutes. Because EB couldn't stop staring at the Saudi Golf League.
And then we were out of prizes, and he just started punching random people up on the air.
Let's go to Rich.
They were there for the game.
Yeah.
Rich, you're on with the junkies.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by Alpha Brain. I got to be honest.
It's got to, like you said, it's got to do something.
Well, Joe Rogan, I knew, can I tell you something? I knew it was from some conspiracy theory, some whack job podcast out there. And I know Rogan's great, everybody loves him. I just knew it wasn't like an advertised on ESPN. I knew it was some fringe podcast that he was listening to.
See, people are hopping on this supplement wave. I've been taking horny goat weed for years yeah. now. It's a supplement on vitaminshop.com. You can get it. It's good stuff.
What's horny goat weed?
I know about horny goat. I've never taken it.
That was always a joke.
It was always the joke, but yeah. And then some like stoner friend of yours would have it. But I never knew if it. I doubt it ever did anything. That's been around for like 30 years.
It doesn't do anything.
Is it something that helps your libido?
I don't even know what libido is.
No, I thought it was a brain thing as well.
Exactly.
It just has a funny name.
Exactly. It's funny to say in conversation.
Now you gotta stop saying exactly. Now I can't unhear it.
I said it again?
You said it like 3 times in 10 seconds.
Exactly. It's my crotch word.
Hey, we gotta find some reviews for this.
For Alpha Brain?
Yeah. I'm on onit.com. I'm trying to find out. It only has 3.9 stars. That seems kind of low, doesn't it?
That seems very low. You got to be at least a 4 or 5 on any Google review to get my attention. A randomized double blind placebo controlled parallel group study of Alpha Brain. You know, what am I going to read a medical journal here on the air? Who knows?
Here's the thing is that it's just full of so much mumbo jumbo that you have to believe it. I always fall prey to these things. Like,
well, I know you're a pill popper.
Yeah, I am a pill popper. I mean, I put those things in my mouth like they're sprees.
Valdez is changing supplements every week.
I am. I'm always looking for an edge.
Yeah, I know. These guys, they're all the same.
I'm always looking for an edge, but I'm always intrigued by Athletic Greens.
What's Athletic Greens?
I don't know. It's the thing that Jim Rome hawks.
They're greenies, I believe, is what they call them.
Yeah, it helps helps give you your vitamins that you would get from plants and fruits for the day, and you just chug a big, disgusting colored shake in the morning.
Well, I tell you, the thing that I'm on, and I brought it up on the show, is the Carnivore MD, who's also one of these like whack job guys that against the counterculture.
Is that the Liver King?
You know, he's similar to the Liver King, where he believes that vegetables and plants are poison.
Oh.
And you should never eat a vegetable because they're all stems and leaves, and those are all filled with toxins and poisons that tell you not to eat it. Okay. And the only thing you can eat are the fruits of the plants. But he doesn't even go crazy with fruits. He eats raw testicles and stuff. He's one of those guys.
Oh. That is weird. I can't do that.
But they're all selling stuff too.
Yeah. Hey, you know what EB says? Well, one of the 5 greatest pleasures of your life, eating. And I'm not going to sacrifice having cow testicles just so that I can lose 5 pounds.
I think eating's number one.
Of course it is.
Well, it's better than sex.
Of course it is. You know how good it is when a piece of steak melts in your mouth?
Prime rib.
I know, but you know how silly like the 5 seconds before you cross the finish line before lift off the R. But I mean, that's really tough to beat.
I will say this is unlike eating after sex, you don't feel crappy afterwards. Well, I guess in some cases.
When I'm eating, I feel crappy.
That's what I'm saying. After you gorge yourself with McDonald's, how much of a piece of crap you feel like. After sex, you kind of feel silly.
All right. After sex, sure. But after you've been on X-Hamster and you've been on some awful category that no human should be on, right? you're looking down at a towel on the floor, you don't feel great about yourself.
When you're wiping your stomach off.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that's what you meant. That is when I feel my lowest. Alpha Brain. All right. EB has me intrigued by Alpha Brain.
Apparently, we need Alpha Brain and Horny Goat Weed.
I'm encouraging him to give some sort of deal, let all of us in on it. I would love to take those supplements, see if it does anything.
He should start journaling while he's on it.
He should. He's got to chronicle every day how he feels about the show. And then, or I mean about his brain activity.
He needs to do a commercial break study of how his brain feels.
I like it. Let's encourage him to do that. Also, are we doing the Monday show, or are we doing the Haberdasher? We never put that together.
Never really put that together.
We got to call Buddy. It's the Purple Heart open on Monday. we're just kind of talking out loud here, but that is something as far as things to do on the show that we kind of forgot about this week.
Well, we have to check with CK and see if it's allowed, and then I can call Buddy today.
All right. Well, I'm sure it's... Free plugs seem to fly rampant on the junkies. Expect one tomorrow for Tennistopia.
It's the Wild West.
All right. Fun week so far on the show. It is the midst of bit season. Especially I felt today, the guys were kind of, Thursday, the guys were on their game. They were fun. They were a little bit loose. EB was having fun with the Nickelback. And
First of all, before we get into Eric and the segment today where the Junks have basically declared they have their price.
They'll sell out
for anything.
Wasn't that a great question by me?
What?
When I asked Cakes if you take $50 million from Saddam Hussein. That was a great question.
You put Cakes in a bind there. He'll never live that down. Really.
Yeah, but the big story of the week was back on TV. And I think that has to do with the guys feeling a little bit more like themselves, having a little bit more pop this week. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I definitely think so. I think the cameras kind of gave them their swag back, as the kids would say. Yeah, right,
we've talked about it for months about how frustrated we were, and we love the people over there, and their hands were tied too, especially Zach, their producer, and some of the guys that work on the show. There's nothing they could do. They're just
following orders,
and there wasn't necessarily the commitment to the TV show at the time during the late pandemic stages here. But we're back. I think it's going to even start looking even better in the next few weeks. We're getting new lighting.
Yeah, new lighting, and then also I think the camera switching will just improve. Once everyone kind of gets used to the show and the different angles and who's...
I've been noticing...
The anticipation will be better for the switch.
I've been noticing a lot of close-ups of Matt Valdez
I noticed that too.
Now look, I think there's some of me too, but I'm not looking at the TV while I'm talking. I'm looking at the guy, I can't tell what camera's on me.
They have this one that they do through the glass.
Right? Yeah. That's a new shot.
Yeah, that is a new shot, because typically they just have this above, like, four shot of
on
us.
Top of our terrible hair.
Yeah, and I get blocked out by the lettering down below. What's that called? The Cryon or whatever it's called.
That's called the lower third.
Okay, well, I get blocked out.
Yeah.
But the new one, how would you rate that? Because I caught a glimpse of it, and every now and then, my arms kind of look big in it, and I don't.
AY
look as
tells
bad.
Me that it's too close.
Okay.
This is coming from AY.
Okay. All right. He is a cameraman, so what do you mean by too close? What's he doing? Is it showing me in an ill?
No, not just you. He was talking about both of us.
Okay,
he says it freaks him out. That like it's too much face of us. He's not used to that of us being. I think the stars,
the center
show.
Of attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like as a viewer, I definitely noticed it where it was like so close to you guys. I would be sweating as a producer. Like I'd be putting together an outfit.
I think they're zooming in on us.
They are.
They're
right, because he's taking the camera and he's having to go a few feet further. So I think it's extra close.
Yeah. He doesn't want the I think it's because he doesn't want the TV in the background of me.
Yeah.
So he's doing what he can to kind of crop it out. But all right. The real question is, how do I look in it?
I think you look like Matt Valdez.
So I'm not flattering.
Well, you don't look bad. At least I've seen shots of your butt crack on TV the last 2 years.
That's happened.
Yeah. I've seen me and my slouching and the man boobs with the overhead shot. I'm not a fan of that. So the closer the better for us.
Have you noticed that my attire during the work week has changed?
I noticed that you were wearing a green hat on Monday and you made a big deal about being back on TV and how you were going to have this new look, and then on Tuesday you were back to your old sloppy haircut.
You know what I'm going to do now is in the morning I'm going to bring hair gel.
You should. Why do you have to bring? Why don't you just do your hair before you come?
Because I would rather just do it here at the station, like I'm Chepe.
Chepe gets fully dressed here at the station.
So I'd rather do it here at the station beforehand.
I mean, I think you'd be perfectly fine, though. Just, you got to be you. If you're going to look sloppy, I'll look sloppy when I'm on.
I don't want to
be the
sloppiest
slop.
I've been doing this show for 13 years. It's somebody else's turn to be the sloppy punching bag loser. I've graduated from that.
I know.
That's why I miss AWOD so much.
it is tough.
AWOD was my buffer.
I know. You mispronounce a word on the junkies and you just get hammered into the ground now if you're drab. Uh-huh. And that's why we need AWOD back here to be the punch bag. I'm not a great punching bag. Valdez, he'll get surly all the time. AWOD, we've always said this, AWOD is the world's greatest punching bag.
Yeah, because he doesn't fight back. And when he does, it's
well, he fights back, but he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't care that people are making fun of him.
It's all for the bits. That's what it is.
Hey, Ryan, Valdez told me today he's out June 21st. So we might have an opening slot for you on the junkies to get your zoom in cam and do the stallion time. Yeah. Stallion cam.
I'm sweating thinking about that. So close. It's going to be up close and personal.
You better put some padding on.
Exactly.
You're going to be the punching bag that day.
I'm going to wear my like super tight shirt that like makes me lose 30 pounds. Or makes it look like it at least.
That's the opposite of what you want to do.
No, that's what I want to do. No, it's the undershirt. Trust me. It makes me look good.
You got
good.
Like one of those tight under compression shirts.
Oh, yeah. It's very compressed. Yeah,
why don't you write down the brand afterwards?
Why don't you share that with all of us?
Interested in that.
Oh, God.
Lurch had a big announcement this week on the show. I knew one of them. I didn't know the other one. It was a two-part announcement.
Didn't it kind of rock your world, him saying that he was joining Twitter? Because I didn't know that was coming.
Yeah.
By the way, he's not really joining Twitter.
The biggest fake announcement.
Exactly.
It was such a fake announcement.
I'm on Twitter. No, you're not. Your show is on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's like saying, well, Jason, you've already been on Twitter because you have a Junks Radio account.
Exactly. That's what I thought too. I said it again. Jason Bishop. I was looking up Jason Bishop on Twitter the other day because he said he made an announcement about it and I just couldn't find him. And then it was his new podcast.
Well, account. It would be one thing if he was actually tweeting from the Picking Fatties Twitter, but it's Skippy.
He's not.
Yeah, he doesn't have the app. This is what happens. He'll text Skippy a thought.
Do you think he's downloaded the app?
No, I don't. I would put money that Jason Bishop has not downloaded Twitter. And I know what he's doing because this is what we've done in the past. He'll say to me, if we're out golfing or if we're at an event, just say, hey, tweet out that I said X, Y, and Z. And you'll go say, and you tweet out X, Y, and Z from your account and then said from Jason.
He'll text you pictures. He'll say, tweet a picture of my dinner or something like that.
We used to have an account where it's like Bish says or Lurch says and stuff like that where he would text us or tell us some musing he would have, and we would tweet it out on his behalf. That's exactly what's happening right now. Jason doesn't log on, have a thought, tweet it out, send it, or anything like that.
He's not checking the mentions.
There's a middleman.
Right.
You're not having any interaction with Jason when you tweet the account, the BetQL account.
Your best chance to interact with Jason is still
the text machine.
The vibe machine or whatever
that's
call it.
Jason's Twitter. That will always be his Twitter.
Unless he gets into it. But as of right now, I know he's not on the Twitter.
Do we know for sure?
No, I just know Jason. This is my read, I guess.
Don't you think Twitter is not meant for Jason? It's just for some. It's not meant for him.
You can't jump on Twitter being a 50-year-old man now, 10 years after it came out, or longer, 15 years after it came out, and expect to be part of society on there.
He'll get
run over.
Jason doesn't have the mindset for Twitter.
It's too fast for him. It's too witty for him.
Hey, what's the thing? And it goes, this is you, and this is the joke, and it has gone over the head.
That
is meant for Jason.
Yeah. He'll be so serious on there. He doesn't know. Could you imagine Jason like on Black Twitter and just trying to catch up with all the comedy shticks there? He would just get eaten alive. He would take everything so seriously. It's too much for him.
He can't take the amount of counterpoints that people are throwing at him. He'll make some statement. He'll say, "Mike, can you imagine going on Twitter and saying Michael Jordan is the GOAT of the NBA?"
He'll be like,
his mentions just get hammered nonstop.
You know, he'll be like Magic Johnson on Twitter. Magic's is joned on the constantly because he just tweets out the most obvious thing, and he'll say like Celtics win, like that would be a tweet. Jay, it's too much for Jason, but I am intrigued by the podcast. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, it's about time because this was in the works for a while.
Now
right?
let's be honest. when's the show going to end?
Okay.
All right. What's the shelf life on picking fatties?
You know how you have those office polls, mm-hmm. where you pick a date and then it's the closest to the
date?
Yeah. We should do that for the day it ends. Well, you think they'll make it to football season?
I think they'll make it to football season, but they'll miss episodes numerous times in between there. And I love the fact that they had technical difficulties on their first day.
Honestly, it made me smile a little deep down because it's so Jason.
I wonder if any of the Junkies listeners tweeted hurtful things to them like they do to us when we have technical difficulties.
I hope so. No. It's because Jason's revered.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
This is what a lot of this went into my decision to not be involved with the show. I don't want to make it about me.
No. Let's get into you as well, because you were a staple of the previous rendition of it.
An originator. I'm one of the OGs of Big Fat Winners.
And you declined.
I declined. I was asked again to join this iteration.
Didn't they announce that you were on it?
Yes, when they did without me knowing.
Like, Jason, this is how unprepared the show is sometimes, and we're to blame. But actually, I didn't even know Jason was making this announcement. I didn't know anything about it. One day, like a month ago, he said he had an announcement, and Skippy called in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea why Skippy was calling in, and he made an announcement on the show that he was doing a podcast with Odyssey, a sports betting podcast, and that Valdez was going to be involved.
It's going to be him, Skippy, and Valdez.
But he had never talked to Valdez about it, actually doing the show.
I think management told them that I was going to be a part of it, and management and myself didn't have a communication about it yet.
All right, well, communicate with the listeners why you're not involved in picking fatties.
I'm not. Big Fat Winners was a huge success the first go around.
Yeah.
My only problem, there's a couple of problems that I have. Number one is that this podcast is going to be 7 days a week. And by 7 days a week, I also mean Saturday and Sunday. I'm basically beholden to whenever Jason and Skippy want to do this podcast. Right. So my weekend, it's probably going. My weekend is consumed with getting this podcast, editing it, and posting it. Basically, whenever they want to do it.
Was there money involved for you? Were they paying you up front?
Secondly, the money that's involved with it.
It was a mythical number.
It's a mythical number. I will say that.
Sounds like Bit Season. Because
I will say this: the money involved with Bit Season. There's been a lot of promises, I guess, thrown around.
Sure, yeah.
And that has been non-existent.
Well, we're still early in this new development. You guys have heard about it on the show. Odyssey is making a big push to have more podcasts, and they want more segments and more episodes. So that's why we're getting so much encouragement to do these podcasts.
I understand that. But let's say there was already some sort of parameters that you have and goals that you have to reach already set in place.
You want the Live Golf deal. You want to be paid up front. You want a big fat check and then go do the work.
No, I don't mind. I don't mind doing the work. Mm-hmm. I mind basically saying, oh, do the work, but don't worry, we'll take care of you. And then not knowing what the taking care of you is.
See, I think the money is secondary.
It is secondary. And also I know what's going to happen.
Because I know you would do that podcast for like $100 a month. You like, if it was something you were enjoying and it was something that worked on your schedule. Doing a podcast, and this is Drap speaking, with Lurch and Skippy sounds like a nightmare because there's going to be a million technical problems with Skippy in Colorado. They're recording it in the middle of the afternoon on weekdays. That's just not going to work for you.
No.
And also, you play golf on the weekend mornings. It sounds like a nightmare.
It's a lifestyle from hell.
I feel bad for Dylan in New Jersey, whoever's doing this.
You think about it. Dylan, let's say Dylan has to go to a graduation party or something this weekend.
And this guy's on the hooks.
His best friend's graduating from college, all right? Or his former roommate's graduating from college. Hey, Dylan, can you come over? We're having like a little brunch thing at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Come on over. It's from 11 to 1. or we're going out to Matchbox from 11 to 1 to celebrate. And he goes, no, I got to go cut up audio of Skippy's Fatties. Yeah.
Well, I think the real reason.
And I know how this is going to go. I really do.
All right. Tell me how it's going to go.
All right. There will be something that, because the money isn't the greatest money in the world. And it's based off
Are you talking Lurch money or Valdez and Drab type money?
What? No. Well,
just money to satisfy
Lurch. The money for the podcast.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. All of a sudden, they're doing all of this, a lot of this legwork. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're realizing that what they're getting paid isn't worth the time that and effort that they're putting into it.
You think that Lurch will quit for financial reasons or not being paid enough? Well, juice not worth the squeeze.
Exactly. Jason values his time. And I think a lot of people value their time. Mm-hmm. And once they realize, holy crap, I'm doing this 7 days a week and I just missed being able to go play RTJ because I got to give you baseball winners in August. All of a sudden, he'll do a cost-benefit analysis and realize, you know, Valdez, why don't you just fill in for me this week? Or I'm not going to do it this week. Can we just figure out what we're going to do? You know, or what if Skippy has an open house? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, I got to jump in and I got to be Skippy, or I got to work around Skippy's schedule.
That is one thing about being a real estate agent. You have to be available 24/7.
Yes.
You get the hot call and you got to run to a house, you got to run to do the paperwork or the closing or put out a fire somewhere. That's a tough job. I mean, you got to be able to
You're on call 24/7.
Right. And no, that's not why I think the show's going to end. I think Lurch and Skippy are going to stop talking to each other. They'll get into another fight or Skippy will be weird again and get self-conscious or like have something going on in his life where he wants to shut it down mentally for a while and he'll just stop talking or just take a break. I've barely met him, but that's his MO, from what I've gathered over the years.
Well, it is weird. They're hosting a show together, but they've had multiple instances where they just like stop talking. Right.
Here's what I'm only going to tell this to the Bit Season audience. And I'm sure EB will hear this or whoever. Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that what we've been telling Lurch and the guys the last few years on the show is Skippy can't come on Fridays because he's not involved with Odyssey.
And then all of a sudden, he's got an Odyssey paycheck.
Skippy's got an Odyssey employment record credential. And now Skippy's got to come on at 9:45 on Fridays. Hey, and I just want to slam my head on the table.
How did Skippy pass the HR process?
I don't know. I don't know.
Did anyone dig into his background?
It's going to be Skippy back on and not making picks. Yeah, not making picks. And just,
I could see it being a high scoring game.
Having low information. Everything's a tingle play.
I think they're just going to pummel them. Pummel them for the beat.
I've always said I like it when Skippy comes on if he's got something to say. Like if he's got a funny story about wearing his wife's panties.
Uh-huh.
I put Skippy in the same category as Rom or D Woods or Cowboy Todd or any of the other tertiary characters on the show. If there's a reason to have him on, let's have him on, right? Skippy on every week making just random plays with no information.
Here, let me ask you a question. Is Pickin' Fatties a rival of Bit Season now? Are we competitors?
No,
or are we
I don't
all
think
on the
so.
Same team?
No, I think I want people to listen to that show. I think it's good for us. If more people checking out the Junkies feed or the Junkies podcast network or whatever we're calling it.
That's actually a great idea. Yeah. The Junkies podcast network.
Yeah. Like Anthony Cumia over
there. Right, exactly. that just turns into more downloads for everybody else. Now, I might be better if Skippy's getting more downloads.
Yeah, how are you going to feel if all of a sudden they get better numbers than we do?
I don't know. They got Jason Bishop on their side. It's not necessarily a fair fight. As you said, everybody loves Bish and we're just the lowly producers.
Hey, we don't. I'm a little upset because I'm counting the Bit Season mentions this week. in comparison to the pick and fatties mentions. Mm-hmm. Well, we are getting the short end of the stick.
Again, he's the host, so he can mention it whenever he wants. We got to wait till Thursday for a cake's introduction for to get a mention.
His robotic introduction on Thursday.
It's Thursday. New episode of Bit Season coming at
the
you.
The boys from Bit Season, the new episode will drop today. Valdez, good morning.
That's the only time. And we might get it on a Friday where EB says,
I was listening.
The new episode of Bit
Season.
The
guys were just crushing me, by the way.
My new favorite time is about 5:30 on Friday mornings when EB comes into the producer's
studio. And tell us everything we got wrong.
He did that last Friday. Yeah, I don't remember what it was about, but he came in there and said, I'm not going to harp on you guys, but I'm telling you, you're wrong. I don't even remember what it was about.
Do I get crushed by them? Because I feel like I kind of go hard in the paint sometimes.
Well, again, I think EB's the only one that listens.
Okay.
And EB likes you, and he says he's told me you're doing a good job. So
okay.
He hasn't crushed you yet.
Yet.
EB doesn't realize we're just throwing crap against the wall and see what sticks.
Exactly. No, we're not. We got a tight outline here.
Super tight. We're ready to discuss.
So congratulations to Lurch. You know, in all seriousness, the podcast is cool. I'm happy that he's doing it. Mm-hmm. And I want him to get on Twitter for real.
Yeah, one more observation. Are we going to have a blow up moment? Remember when
but here's the thing. He wasn't doing, what podcast was he doing?
That was the Big Fat Winners.
I don't think it was.
No, it was.
You were not doing a show with Lurch.
I was. It was just me and Jason. Just us two. Skippy wasn't involved in it during
that. Was it called Big Fat Winners?
It was called Big Fat Winners. I had the production and everything. We did it in the side studio. You know where the kitchen was?
Yes.
So you go around that kitchen that's before sales, and they had that studio. We would go in there and record it once a week.
Are you talking here?
No,
in Lanham.
In Lanham.
Okay. So that's what he was screaming, I just want to win on the podcast?
Yes, that's where it originated. Then once we came here, that's when Skippy was involved.
Were you guys doing shady deals back then, too?
So much shadiness.
Selling picks.
The amount of shadiness was off the charts.
The reason why it's in hindsight and now it's back, I don't know if the listeners even know that much, but the problem was that Valdez and Skippy and Lurch, I don't think how much you guys have really ever talked about this, they were doing a podcast, and they were selling picks on the podcast.
We were touting our plays on the podcast.
But the company hosting the podcast wasn't getting any of the cut, and they didn't even know that they were doing that.
Well, in our defense, we were getting 30,000 downloads a month, and for some reason it couldn't be sold. Kind of like this podcast. and we were like, well, screw this. We're going to take this into our own hands. Mm-hmm. And we released our play pack.
And what was the phone number to call
it? No. And so we had it set up.
Valdez's recorded voice.
Hey, I got the game of the year. So we put out our play package, the Valdez package, I think cost it was $50.
Oh my god.
Right? So, were people actually paying for this?
I think it was $50. All right, but if the package, and this was for Thursday, and Friday of the opening of the tournament, of the NCAA tournament, $50, and if the package didn't win on Thursday and Friday, all right, if it was 500 or below, you got your money back.
Oh, that's a sweet deal.
Right? Okay. That's not a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what the package did on Thursday and Friday?
What?
Went 11-1. Brad, this is when we were at Ramparts. You remember?
Ramparts. No wonder you were having such a great time.
Yeah, I was having a great old time.
I remember we were watching Yale play.
And then Iona overhit.
Yeah, you were going nuts.
We were going nuts.
Yeah, okay.
So it went like 11-1 on the first 2 days. And oh my God, my phone was buzzing on fire. It was like I was giving away gasoline.
All right, all those new signups for Saturday and Sunday.
I swear to God, my the Twitter feed looked like a bunch of crack addicts trying to get more plays for next weekend. They said, Valdez, we need more. We need more. And then I re-released another package for the weekend.
Did it bomb? No.
It still finished above 500, but I think it was like 5-4. But it's still above 500.
Yeah, you go.
And then all of a sudden next week I got a meeting scheduled for me to go get a tongue lash in.
Yeah, yeah. By meeting scheduled, he means being yanked into an office by his collar.
and saying, this is so illegal.
Now, how much was the Skippy and Lurch package? Did they have their own? Everyone had their own separate package.
No. I was the only one that.
Oh, because you were the March Madness guy.
Yeah. I was the college hoops guy.
I got it. Yeah. All right.
How much did you allegedly walk away with? Would you say?
Oh, out of all of that, it was over $1,000.
God. Really?
Well, it had to be. It's 50 bucks a piece.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was probably the smartest and dumbest idea I've ever
now,
had.
Now, genius. Right. Can Lurch sell a package on picking patties?
I don't know. if he does, then Odyssey has to get some sort of percentage of it. I don't know what kind of contract he signed.
Yeah, either do I.
I know what kind we signed.
We are not allowed to sell anything. We can't sell t-shirts.
I can't even sell you the booger I'm going to pay.
All right. Well, congrats to Lurch. We will keep you guys updated on how it's doing. I think the moment of the day today, and we referenced it just a little bit ago, is Cakes taking blood money from the Middle East.
Yeah.
All right. We'll tell you more about that when we come back.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, LIV Golf has been the number one theme topic on the show this week. I do find it interesting, and I am intrigued. I'm a very casual golf fan. I'm a Tiger fan.
Yes.
But I am intrigued by this. I don't think it's the biggest story in sports, like EB said today. But in this studio, it definitely is.
I enjoy it. I love, you know, I'm a big golf fanatic, and I like that stuff other than, I guess, how you play a hole or a person's score is dominating the headline, because that's what's making it so easy to digest, I think, for listeners and for the guys, is that they're just the storylines about the disruption is what's dominating.
Yeah, I don't think the casual, very casual fan cares that much about the scoring.
No,
it's more of the drama between potentially the PGA Tour. Yeah. Becoming worthless,
and also the money figures,
right,
has basically dominated the entire thing. And the money figures is what we want to get to in terms of the junks and their willingness to sell out.
All right, so I referenced it today on the show, but you heard EB talking yesterday about wishing that someone would just give him a big lump sum of money, a big sack of cash, and he could just sit back and do nothing.
He wants the live model.
Yeah. All right. How did that come about?
Yesterday we were in the studio signing copies of Still Barking.
Somehow we're still signing copies of this book. I don't know how. JP did a Father's Day sale.
Yeah, he's got a second run. I don't know, maybe an additional chapter in there. Yeah. I don't know how he's got.
Damn you guys who bought a book. He's bringing in boxes of stuff again here every day. We're having to sign them.
And so we have to carve out time after the show to sign all the copies and write disses, Matt Valdez.
Yes, you're doing a personalization of each one.
Yeah. So we're doing all this, and Eric's just bemoaning the fact that he's signing these books and everything. Is that this is taking out time in his busy life. All right. He must have a big pickleball match he has to get to. And he's signing this, and he goes, I can't wait till I'm done signing these things. He goes, I hate doing this. I don't know what to say. And then he goes, I hate doing this, and I hate live reads. I kind of like, what? because live reads you don't realize that is the lifeblood of the side money that the junkies make. Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest side hustle in history.
It's astronomical.
Right? I mean, you guys hear the amount of money.
If I told you how much they made from FanDuel, you go nuts.
Write it down for Ryan. Ryan's in the inner circle.
I'm
going to
write
here.
You.
Ryan
I'm
can
write you.
All right. All right.
Ryan's a producer.
I've never seen this for their amount.
So this is how much
they make. This is going to be soul crushing.
Who? Who?
I know this is what Cakes makes from MGM.
For what? A year?
For
a month?
For a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Show Ryan.
Holy Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh, he just shattered his
head. Exactly.
You might need a loan from Cakes.
Oh my God.
Fix what you just broke on the board there.
It was my pen. That's a good chunk of change for doing
1 minute live reads.
Yeah. And so Eric goes. So he's bemoaning doing the book signing, and he goes this in live reads, and then he said, "I'll never forget this line because Eric could only say it in Bickle fashion." He goes, "I just want somebody to give me a bunch of money to do nothing." he goes, "I want the live tour style. I just want somebody to pay me a bunch of money.
Yeah, no expectations. Yeah, no just expectations. Show up, slap your name on something.
Basically, you get paid money to be Eric Bickle."
Like his Krupp Metcalf spots on TV.
Yeah. You just show up.
One day, do something silly for one day, and then just never ending paycheck.
Kind of like your Orchard reads.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
I see that number. Divide that by, is that what you're making? 100. Divide that by 100. Man, that's what I'll get for a year of Orchard.
I hear those every hour.
Hey, you know what? I'm not paid enough by Orchard. I saw someone tweeting me the other day saying my Orchard reads are on par with the Cars for Kids commercials, and as far as the annoyance factor goes, and I replied, hey, they seem to like them.
Yeah, they keep doing those rebuys.
Sign me up again. I'll do another month.
I mean, hey, the Orchard.com is like pinned in my brain after hearing that.
Hey, everybody knows what Orchard is.
Mm-hmm. Now they do. At least they know the name.
But don't you think only Eric could say that and be funny when he says...
It's just because he's already so lazy. And we love him. We love Eric. But he's so lazy. And minimal effort is put into anything he does on and off the air, basically.
What did you think of the guys saying that they would stoop so much to do morning zoo radio?
I know what happened. This is why it's so hard to be their producer sometimes. And everyone's like, well, why can't you guys whip them into shape? We try. There's only so much you can do.
Yes.
There's nobody like the junkies. Anyone else takes pride in their work. But the junkies have convinced themselves that is part of their charm. The fact that they don't care and the sloppiness and the getting information wrong is part of their charm.
Tom Glancy is entertaining radio.
They're the only people in history that can do this, and it's impossible to explain. And as producers, as people who want them to put together everything to be packaged neatly,
well thought out, packaged neatly, it's a frustrating experience. As a producer, doing stuff on the fly is scary stuff and something that you try to avoid as much as possible. But the entire junkie show is on the fly. Yeah.
But I think that's the best part about them, though, because they have that chemistry, or they can pinball.
Don't say that. Because they're gonna listen to it and then all of a sudden replace me with you.
But yeah. I kind of like the way that they pinball segments around, though. Like, it's just they're all going back and forth arguing. It's funny. I kind of like that about the junkies. Where they just spit out something random. It's great.
But you realize, without us, okay, they would literally sit there and talk about golf and poker for 4 hours a day.
Yes. Okay. I do. Yes. You guys.
It takes up 3 hours. Yeah, I know.
We're trying our best, and we give them little niblets of here's a little bit. Take a little bite of this and satisfy you for a while with a little bit of golf talk here or poker talk or whatever, you know, weird other things they're into that nobody else cares about. But the junkies, we have a different philosophy a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
The junkies are doing the four guys are doing the show for themselves. Like, they're only trying to entertain each other, which works a lot of the time.
Yeah, because if everyone's having fun and laughing,
there's a lot to that, and I agree with that. But they forget that we're also going for mass appeal. Yeah. And we want the most amount of listeners as possible. So sometimes those things brush up, you know, can be frustrating to deal with.
How does it make you feel, though, when the junks want that big $10 million golden parachute?
Who doesn't, right?
I know.
It has to be a line somewhere.
Like, you what? You just want to be a slob that's just handed a bag of money?
Yes, of course.
Look, $50 million's a lot of money, but your dignity has to somewhat come in play.
How much,
Saudi thing is somewhat vague. Like, are they really that bad?
Yeah, nobody knows.
As far
knows.
As like other is sport washing, other people do business with them.
Uh-huh.
No. Saddam Hussein's the worst person in the last 100 years, besides Bin Laden, I guess, to ever live. Awful person and terrible regime. And Cakes said he'd have no problem taking money from him.
Do you think? Let me ask you a question. Do you think Cakes? I mean, he said he would take Hussein's 50 mil. If Bin Laden counteroffered and said 55, you think Cakes would switch over?
Yeah. Cakes will, let me tell you, Cakes said he would take 50 million from Saddam Hussein, but he won't do an endorsement with because he doesn't like them.
He hates their cable.
He bleeps that out because we do business with
him. That's the best point.
That's
one of the things that he refuses to do.
He's got like three companies. I think there's a transportation company as well that he won't do business with.
He won't do business with a cable company, a transportation company, and I forget what else.
Somebody else, but he'll do business with Saddam. The price is right.
What about you? You would take it though, but you would.
No. Well, here's why I say no. Because Valdez, there's things that you and I could be doing that would pay us a lot more money, right? Oh. Different. We could be in business.
Can you tell me what those are?
But we're dumb.
We are dumb.
We love radio. We're radiophiles. We get sized in the morning to wake up and do talk radio.
Yeah. You know what Jason said today when he goes,
because we care, he goes, we have a passion for the industry.
He just goes, you just guys, you love talk radio, don't you? And you know what? I do. I listen to so much talk radio. I listen to Faction all day. I listen to Jim and Sam. I'll listen to Howard. I'll listen to Bennington and the Bonfire. I'll listen to podcasts. Yeah. I'll listen to it all.
I think EB's the only one that truly likes radio.
But we're lemmings because...
No, I would take 50. I mean, yeah,
50 million.
If ISIS offered me $50 million, I think I would have to turn that down. You got to have a line somewhere. Now, I don't think...
But I want some sort of... If I do turn it down, I want some sort of props for turning it down.
Yeah,
I need some sort of parachute. To be like some company sees that I turn that down, I'm some sort of moral police, or I'm.
You want like a salute the troops type thing?
Salute
Valdez.
Yes,
special holiday recognition for Matt Valdez for standing up for America.
Yeah,
America first.
I want some sort of home American brand like Walmart. All of a sudden, it's big news that Matt turned down $50 million from the Live Tour, and he's a nubber. He's a radio nubber. So you know what, Walmart? We're gonna give you a nice, cushy $1 million salary to be our spokesperson.
I like it.
Right?
Yeah. A nice deal from Chevrolet.
Nothing more American than Chevrolet.
I think actually owned by like a Belgian company or something. Now.
Hobby Lobby.
Right. Hobby Lobby. No, Valdez, you know who you are. You're a Sam Adams guy. Don't you love Sam? That's
I do.
American
I like Sam.
Company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, me and Jim Cook.
You and Jim Cook do it to go. He rewards you with your own beer.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, who doesn't want a big sack of money? But it just makes us laugh because EB already does just minimal work. And he and anytime he does anything like signing his name, it's literally signing a book, he's going, oh, I just need someone to give me money to do nothing. When he already works 4 hours a day, has the easiest job, goes home.
They have the life.
They
have it. They have it very good. But this is what I don't understand is why do the Junks and EB have disdain for the panhandler that's out there on the corner? Right? Because in a sense, it's the same exact thing. The panhandler really isn't doing anything.
Well, the panhandler doesn't have a talent.
He's guilting. The panhandler is guilting people into giving him money.
Well, wouldn't Eric be doing the same if he's
providing a service.
So he's just saying, I thought Eric is just saying, give me money for being Eric and just being silly. That's not really a skill or a service.
If EB could make $1 million a year standing out on that street corner, I'm sure he would do it. Right? He would give up this radio gig and he'd stand out there with that guy and his Jordans. Yeah. Yeah. I think the homeless guy out here is wearing Jordans
I pointed out to you that anytime he has a new outfit on, I pointed out that he has. He has 4 pairs of shoes. He has more shoes than I do.
Same.
I didn't know it was possible to be homeless and a sneakerhead. He's the only homeless guy who has a StockX account.
Look at you, Valdez, on the cutting edge of what's trendy.
This
is a very centric. We're talking a lot about the Junks. A lot of times we get away from them and we do our own thing. Uh-huh. The other thing I want to talk about today is EB not understanding why Nickelback is is popular on Twitter and for the young people to get a hard time about.
I will say that
he didn't understand why the Angels were mocking them.
This is a shameless plug for a Twitter account I find funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's called EB Doesn't Know.
Oh, really? Yeah. I heard you mention it. I don't think I've ever looked at it.
I want you to go on EB Doesn't Know on Twitter, and I think they've uploaded their latest EB Doesn't Know-ism.
Okay.
And
there it is.
Read that out loud for the audience for me.
3 hours ago, they tweeted, EB doesn't know why Nickelback is the butt of all the jokes.
read a couple more before we get into Nickelback.
EB doesn't know who to bet on Friday and the game was rained out. EB doesn't know how pools get water in them. EB doesn't know the difference between Anna Ball and Aaron Sanchez. EB doesn't know how bookies make lines. Doesn't know the premise of Top Gun. Hey, I like this account.
Yeah, it's amusing. It gives me a snicker every now and then. But doesn't everybody know that Nickelback, and speaking of sellouts, is the poster child for music sellout?
I know. I was explaining that to EB. I was saying, everyone hates Nickelback. I don't hate Nickelback, but I'm not a music snob. Music snobs hate Nickelback because they just create poppy, radio friendly music to make for a hit.
They're using a formula to make
it's the easiest music to
ear catching music.
And he goes, I know, but they have a lot of hits. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, and doesn't he know that they're doing this because it's like playing Nickelback for your walk up song is probably the most loser thing you could do as a baseball player, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's a joke. Nickelback's a joke. And so they did this every single time to kind of do a reverse the curse. Basically, you know how you would say, well, I'm a mush. I'm going to bet the Celtics. But so that means I'm going to take the Warriors.
Right.
It's the same thing that the Angels are doing with Nickelback.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody in the world would pick this band to be their walk-up.
It's ironic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Alanis.
And it didn't work for him, but EB, he couldn't figure. I think EB, he just knows that they're popular or that they were popular. So he can't imagine like why people have a problem with it.
Like it's a joke. It's a joke to Nickelback.
Yes.
Do you know what else EB missed?
What?
This is such an EB-centric thing. And I couldn't believe it. He missed Tom Brady's hog.
You know what he did? What happened during that segment?
I was so happy. Because when did we talk about Tom Brady's underwear?
Yesterday, I believe.
On Wednesday. You sent it over in a DM to Eric and I, and you said... The caption said
howitzer.
Right? It was very obvious, like, why that was entertaining. Because it was Tom Brady showing up.
It's the greatest player of all time,
mm-hmm.
shirtless, in his underwear, with his big hulking package busting out.
Dude, would you have thought that Tom Brady was packing like that?
No. Because I thought,
it was a massive unit.
You want to know why? Because I thought God had just blessed him already.
Yeah, I know.
And then he just used a tiny Johnson. Yeah, he just used up all of the good to make that one mm-hmm. person. And then he just didn't have enough left to give him a big penis. But I was wrong.
He spent a lot more time on Brady than the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought we would just be discussing the outline, the curvature, the hang low. You know how Eric always talks about someone's hang low?
Yeah.
And I never understood why it was called a hang low. And then I saw Tom Brady's package. Hanging to the floor. Hanging to his marble floor.
But you were fuming after that segment.
I was fuming.
Because you wanted all the time to be spent on Brady's Johnson.
We're talking about his side business. We're talking about Tom Brady's side hustle.
His apparel line.
I don't care. Tom Brady could be hawking a pet rock.
I'll be honest.
But I'm more concerned with what's in his pants.
When I saw it, I wasn't even thinking... Brady apparel or Brady the Brady clothing line.
No, I was just thinking, holy crap, the greatest quarterback of all time is almost naked.
Yeah, why is he naked and why are his balls so big?
Yeah.
And why is he doing this?
You know how they say when the quarterback's leading the 2-minute drill and you know he's running up, that guy's got balls. Well, Tom Brady's got balls.
It really made an impression on you.
It did.
Yeah.
Because like you said, I thought he'd just have a little thimble. At least that's what I was hoping for.
See, you thought
all
wrong
those,
with
all
that.
Those cold games in Boston, wouldn't it make it shrivel up a little bit?
Still, though, it's Tom Brady. What doesn't he have?
You know what he doesn't have? He doesn't have a cover for the pipes in a sink. And that was tilting me.
Why was that tilting you? Actually, you know why?
Why?
Because that was a custom sink. If you have a cabinet to cover your pipes, that's something you buy at like Home Depot. You go in there the weekend and you buy some little crappy cabinet.
Yeah, but why doesn't ball he have a,
one?
Why doesn't he have a pedestal sink? One of the standing pedestal things.
I just think it was a weird angle.
He had exposed pipe showing. And the pipe in his pants and the pipe behind the sink.
Exposed pipes are trendy. And you see like a loft.
He's not living in downtown New York. He's living in Tampa Bay.
You know, you think that house isn't silly?
I know it's silly. Okay. But it's like
Brady touches is first class.
Honestly, it's like the interior designer missed a room. There's so many rooms in his house in Tampa Bay that they missed a room.
I bet you that sink was like $20,000.
Easily.
They should have spent an extra $1,000 to get that pipe fixed.
I thought it was fine. You were like, this guy's nubs.
That's nubs. You want to know why? That pipe will be rusty in about 2 years.
That pipe will never be rusty. It's got someone cleaning it every other day.
Hand polishing.
Go look at it again. It was butt shiny.
I'm going to look at it right now.
It was the shiniest pipe I've ever seen.
Actually, now that you bring it up, I feel like Tom Brady would be a penny pincher with this stuff. Like, I could see the GOAT just like trying to save money and going like a cheap Costco.
Hey, look at this. Look at this. You see the pipe? Yes. Like, why is that exposed? Yeah.
Also, may not have been his house.
What do you mean?
It may have been someone.
Let me see that pipe. He might be staying somewhere else. I think that's a style. That's what it is. It's a style. Yeah. It's like adds a little rustic look to the place.
Rustic.
Yeah, it's like a 1920s Gatsby type
thing. Exactly, yeah.
Exactly, Baldi.
No, I said it again.
Do you think Tom Brady is a Gatsby?
I do, actually.
You could be it.
All right. We've had a lot of fun here today.
Nubs trash can, too.
It is a Nubs trash can. I'll give you that.
The tiniest trash
can. It's so tiny.
It's basically the size of a Kleenex box.
The trash can was putting me up, though.
It can fit one of Drab's tissues.
Yeah, yeah. One of my well, Kleenex munches.
One of your tissues, and that's about it.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to Bit Season. Be sure to tell people about it. Follow us on social media at Bit Season on Twitter, and we'll see you tomorrow on The Junkies.
See ya.
See ya.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.